reconvene in open session, and I guess an announcement, since our attorney conference call starts right at noon, I'll probably gavel us out 3 minutes or so before. So I'm going to move to agenda item 6A. Ms. Davis. Our favorite topic.
Favorite topic? No, this other was our favorite topic today.
I'm ready to not see this on the agenda.
You're ready to not see me anymore?
No, not you. The agenda, this item.
You've got it. Good morning, supervisors and chairman of the board. Shelley Davis, I'm director of public health. Anyway, we all know this is June 15th. Governor Newsom says no more stay-at-home order, no more masking of vaccinated individuals. He implemented that order early on in the pandemic to protect Californians, and he is also retiring the blueprint for a safer economy, so we move now into the beyond the blueprint plan to fully and safely reopen. So what does that mean? There are still some state mandates, I'm sure you know, in effect. The CDPH released the new state public health officer, Thomas Aragon, saying that masks are not required for fully vaccinated individuals, except on public transit, indoors in K-12 schools, childcare, other youth settings, healthcare settings, correctional facilities, detention centers, homeless shelters, emergency shelters, cooling centers, but masks are required for unvaccinated individuals. So I was so happy to come in here today and see everybody is vaccinated. That just totally jazzes me. So as in regards to our vaccination efforts, individuals that are fully vaccinated in our county, now the number is 14,427. We still have 2,969 waiting for their second vaccine. So that means a total doses administered is 31,117, brings us to a total of 32.1% of our residents are fully vaccinated. We still have a lot of inventory on hand at public health that we do redistribute. We are seeing a decline in people wanting to be vaccinated. We've got 32% already vaccinated. We see some vaccine hesitancy throughout the county, so we're no longer seeing this large scale for mass vaccination clinics to take all of public health out there to take care of. So we have partnered up with the state and the SNAP Med Tech unit, and we now have a SNAP nurse mobile clinic that goes through. And for 4 days every week, they will be in different parts of the county offering vaccines. We also have OptumServe out there doing it at COS as well. The SNAP nurse started off yesterday at Tule Lake and Doris. They started in the morning at Doris and then went out to Tule Lake. And then today they are in Aetna and Fort Jones. And that's what the state, with most, you know, they're not, they have no signage, no nothing. It's a white van, so nobody really knows they're there. So we're trying to push out as much as we can for the state, because it's all their responsibility to take care of, just to try and get, you know, more people out there to become vaccinated. Eventually their rigs will be wrapped and you'll know it's a vaccination clinic, but right now it's like a white van, basically. As far as COVID numbers, you have, I'm sure, watched the dashboard and saw that our numbers are going down, 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 thank goodness. There for a while, it was quite alarming how up they were. Right now, we currently have 13 active cases, and throughout the last year and a half, we have tested a total of 25,484 individuals. We currently have 5 that are still hospitalized, with 3 in the ICU, and unfortunately our death count being at 37. So we did see much of an uptick of that since the beginning of the year in our death count, so that's really quite alarming to us as well. But that's where we are as far as COVID goes. Anybody have any questions?
Rosa Cubs.
So what element of HIPAA allows you to ask if you've been vaccinated or not?
I think I can.
Huh?
I don't think we can. Technically, you're not supposed to be able to ask an individual if they are vaccinated. It does say in the Beyond the Blueprint, the state health officer's order, that, let me see if I can find it. There's certain ways businesses can go about determining whether or not somebody is vaccinated or not. They can actually say, if you're unvaccinated, you can come into my facility. But they can't say, are you vaccinated? So, without fully reading it, again.
What's the difference?
It's an honor system. And
well,
that's on the state call. That's what they say. You know, you can't ask. It's on the honor system.
Yeah.
So, just like me saying, thank you, everybody, for being vaccinated. I don't know what it means.
Well, that's where I'm at, because I'm trying to figure out what mark do we have. We don't.
We don't.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Hmm. So, what's the... Along those lines, I keep reading the CSAC news feed about the governor wanting to put some kind of a verification process for large venues. How's that going to work?
How do you ask 10,000 people coming in if they're vaccinated?
Well,
are they all going to show a card, right?
They're probably not allowed to ask.
They're not allowed to ask. So just, it's on the honor system.
Okay. And we're so honorable up there.
We are. If anybody sees this little flyer out, this is the one for the SNAP nurse. Shows all the different areas that they're in. They are, I think it's going to be great for public health to get back into their programs. We haven't been on our programs in a year and a half, which means our funding from the state on all those grant programs are going to go down, so we're looking at how can we get back into them.
So from an expenditure standpoint, which is near and dear to our heart today, how much longer are you going to have to keep this up, you know, with the dashboard and the reporting and all the intense work that you have on the staff right now?
Well, we still have the DOC open at Public Health, the Department Operations Center, and we are told by the state we remain at a level 2 until our vaccination efforts are exhausted. So, does that mean 50% of our county is vaccinated, 100%? Because you're never going to get there to 100%. So, we'll just keep on doing it.
Okay.
Do you have a guesstimate of what percentage we might get to? Because, you know, we're very much at the lower end of the spectrum.
We are. Personally, I'd love to see us around 60%. So we're hoping that with this additional effort, that we can definitely get more people involved in getting vaccinated, because it's more easily acceptable, accessible for them to go to.
Right.
Where when we have a large vaccination clinic, you know, and we're vaccinating 1,200 people at a time or 800 people at a time, it's on one day, right? These people are going to be out in the county every single day, and OptumServe is every Thursday. So we're seeing more numbers at OptumServe. In the beginning, they were seeing 8, 12, but this week, last week it was 88, there was 112, and 86, so they're definitely seeing their numbers increase there.
So it's not a matter of, you know, remember before we were talking getting the vaccinations here, the supplies here. We have plenty of supply.
Yes.
Just a matter of utilizing them. All the pharmacies have them, all the varieties,
yep.
All the normal.
And
places,
the schools,
so.
We're working with the schools also as well.
All right. Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Shelley, is that mobile clinic, when they go to a spot, say over in Aetna, do they set up in one spot for the whole day, or are they moving throughout? Because a lot of times, word of mouth will get out during the day, and then people will go to a spot, and then maybe they won't
and
be
then
there.
Gone. So places like Fort Jones and Aetna, it's in the morning at one, in the afternoon at the other. The one thing about this SNAP nurse unit is they are contracted with Dollar Generals. So that's where they will be parked at, is all the Dollar Generals within our county. And then when there isn't one, such as the one up in Doris, they were at the community, Lions Club Community Center up there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, since the fire contingent is here, pull your item up here, and there's 5 minutes on my schedule, and that's about all I have before I have to cut this.
It's going to take.
You will keep it down to three.
So I brought copies of the annual report for you to reference, and we'll just allow you to review that. Mr. Chair, honorable members of the board, thank you for having us here today. We just wanted to briefly talk to you about the statistics that we pulled for last year for the fire departments throughout the county, and we wanted to provide you with that information here today. You'll see that the very first page of the document contains the a synopsis of the Slater fire, and really what I want to point out on that is a lot of things came together, fuel, weather, topography, and ignition, the fire start, to create that devastating fire. Resources came from all over the place to help mitigate that emergency. But the local departments, they saved lives. They saved lives and property when those first few hours of this incident occurred. And that's really the takeaway from this synopsis here. On the following page, you'll see there's a letter from the county fire warden. Me, as your appointed fire warden, I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity to serve. I'm also the department head for the County Service Area 4 and also General County Fire. And I just want to bring you up to speed on CSA 4 entities are struggling, just like a lot of other volunteer departments, for volunteers. And so much so that we are looking at agreements for service from surrounding departments to provide that fire protection to those areas that require that protection. So the agreement for service is under the auditors and legal service review currently. So hopefully we'll have one here before the board this next month, very shortly. One more thing I wanted to touch on is the General County Fire has an inventory of fire engines, air compressor systems, and those items are utilized throughout the county. Oftentimes, the engines are rented by CAL FIRE, and they produce revenue for General County Fire. This last fiscal year, we were fortunate enough to produce $203,000, almost $204,000. That revenue can oftentimes be reinvested into in maintenance and actual replacement of equipment so that we can continue this process for the future. And I'm going to turn it over to to the Deputy County Fire Warden, Darrell Laws, real quick, and then I'll turn it over to Chief Paul.
Afternoon.
Morning.
Just along those lines with Chief Anzo and General County Fire, and he talked about that we maintain the inventory of fire engines. And then also, through the County of Siskiyou, provide extended county services through a fire protection reimbursement agreement for dispatch services. This dispatch agreement allows two communication operators to maintain a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year wide-awake service to the public, to the citizens of Siskiyou County. And the Wairika Interagency Command Center. And that command center answers all the 911 calls that come in for fire and rescue in the county. They dispatch all 29 departments, CAL FIRE resources, Forest Service resources, and ambulances. And last 2020, they dispatched 10,420 emergency incidents. And out of those 10,420 incidents, 6,920 were on behalf of the volunteers in this county. And 518 were incidents within CSA 4. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to Chief Paul.
Hi. I just kind of want to go over real quick how the volunteer companies are doing. As the chief of the Chiefs Association, as you know, we have 5 new chiefs in the last year, which probably lack a little experience, but they make up for enthusiasm. So that's been kind of a positive element to it, and show at some of our meetings and some of the stuff going on. So I've been really kind of excited about that. We've got quite a few new wildland engines through the departments out there that have come online. While our biggest hurdle is actually getting volunteers to sign up, a couple of departments have had a little bit of success getting new volunteers, but it's a struggle to get them trained. You're looking at just under 200 hours or so of training before you can get them to go out on incident stuff. So that's been kind of a struggle while we've been working with our partners with CAL FIRE and the college to try to provide some of those classes out there. We're still struggling there trying to meet the needs of the volunteer, just because, you know, in today's world, our volunteers, they're doing a regular job, and to get all that training on top of it creates a real issue to try to bring that on. A couple of other things going on, some of the departments have actually been trying to get involved in doing some fire safe clearing out there, which I'm pretty excited to see when the new grant cycle comes out, to see if we have some success there to get more property and fuel breaks out there along with the larger agencies, but some smaller scale stuff. And so that's what's going on, and we're hanging in there, and the invitation for you guys to show up at our chief's meeting is always there. We look forward to seeing you at those meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. And I got to cut this conversation off. I didn't want to. And I'm going to invite you back again, because I've got some questions that are going to take a little more time, you know, with the staffing and kind of the health of our fire services across all the jurisdictions in the county. So, come back. Okay? Sorry about the heartbreak I've got right now.
It's okay. No worries.
Understood. Thank you.
And just so you know, my soapbox will be about consolidating. Consolidation is the fire rule.
You're doing it.
They're
doing it. They're starting it. Yeah.
Good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to go into closed session.
Phil, thank you.